Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Whoa. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To give a piece to the feet, it's time to call blows. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. It can't be beat. The clash you meet. That'll leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive and motivational strategy. Successful guests promote self mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
And greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to Planet Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue. Peace and greetings to everyone out there. I am so glad to have all of you joining me here in the platform. So peace and greetings to everyone out there, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Planet Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and I'm very honored to invite you guys to join me here tonight live in the platform. I want to start out by giving out the call-in number. 646-652-2711 is the number to call if you're in Canada or you're calling from an international country. You can dial that number, but if you are calling outside of those countries, you will need to dial the U.S. country code and then dial 646-652-2711. And that will get you locked in right here, right here in the remix. And so I am so glad to have you guys joining me. And so those beautiful vibes, which really speak to the essence of the share tonight, and really sort of my mood and how I've been feeling and what's really been going on, because tonight we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to have a lot of fun, learn a little bit of history for some of us, and find out about what's happening right now. I'm even going to throw some surprises in there, so we're going to have a beautiful time here tonight. The song that we were listening to is All That I Give by Cinematography, which is an amazing group that puts out some beautiful vibes out into the cosmos. I do want to remind you guys that you can also come on over, because the chat room is open and you can join us in chat. www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Remix, all one word, is how you're going to get in. Come on in. If you're a guest and you're joining us for the very first time, don't be shy. Just click the link at the bottom. Tell us who you are. Come on in. Sign up. And we would love to, we'd love to welcome you here. And if it's your first time, welcome. So tonight, we're going to be discussing tonight Dawn of the Infinite Berbers, 22nd Ghost Boat. And so even though this is kind of an emotional thing for me, I'm going to do my very best, I promise you, to give you 100% so that we can get this story out and we can move this energy, because I know that we can do that together. It's a very special day today, and the energy tomorrow is even more powerful. And so we have some very significant days that are coming up. If you remember the show that we did, myself and Brother Bilal, and we talked about these days, and Brother Bilal gave you some days in October. And really, this has been something we've been building up for quite a long time. And so tonight, we're going to bring some understanding to all of this the best way I can. It's not a channel, though. I want to warn you, it's not a channel. Really, it is divine. It is so divine. And I am truly honored and truly humbled to share it with you. And like I said, we're going to have some fun while we're sharing this information. I want to remind you, so I want you to lock this in. Tonight's show, as well as all of the remix shows, are available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? And you can download. You can go over to the iTunes market. You can download there. You can also go over to the Android market and download there. We are also over on Facebook. And so we certainly do welcome you to go over on Facebook and click like, and that's how you're going to stay in touch and stay in tune and really stay way ahead of anything that's out there and find lots of goodies for yourself as well. I want to give some shouts out. First, definitely to all of you that are here tonight. And so I want to thank you and your families, of course, for always being a part of Planet Remix. It does my heart so well to be on this journey with you and to have you guys here. Some readings this week that were truly loving and so amazing. And so it's been an honor to just connect with all of you this week. And then also, I want to send love out, of course, to Esther. And she's on the road, her and Patches in Magellan. So I want to send lots of love their way and safe travels. But they're listening into the remix. I can assure you she is here. They are here. And to Sister Munya and her family, of course. And also to Brother Bilal, of course. Send so much love out to him. And then also, much love out to the whole family. And it's so many of you guys. I just want to thank and just so glad to have you guys here, you know, always, because it literally does take a village for me to get here, for sure. It takes a village. It's a big village, but it takes a village. So love out all my brothers and sisters. I want to send love out to all of you. I want to do this. I want to ring the bell for Self-Invested because it's just been some amazing work going on with all of you guys who are in Self-Invested. And tomorrow night, myself and Brother Bilal, we will be joining you in Self-Invested as we continue to uncover, discover, and just share and grow and just do some amazing shit. And much love out to all the divine priestess out there. I love you guys. Much love to all the priestess out there doing some amazing work, I might add. I'm so proud of each and every one of you guys. Truly, I am. So, now that we got all of that out the way, we can get ourselves ready so we can receive this message tonight and talk about some things. So tonight is one of those nights. We're going to laugh a little bit. We're going to joke a little bit. We're going to get serious a little bit. And we're going to pull some things together. And then Sunday night, of course, you know, Brother Bilal from Bilal the Experience is going to come on and drop some amazing stuff. So you don't want to miss Sunday night. It's going to be beautiful as well. And these things will go together. So, you know, you want to do that. We're going to cry a little bit. Yeah, we do that too. And I'm even going to let you guys in on a little secret because I'm going to tell you who my boo is. So tonight, you will find out about my boo. Yep, we're going to do it. We're going to tell the story and we're going to wrap it all up together, put a nice bow on it, and make it nice and beautiful right here on Planet Remix. I thought you guys would get some love out of that. I thought you guys would get a good laugh out of that. So we're going to talk about a lot of things, though. And so I want to kind of take you back because this is an important story for us to begin to understand because it's going to bring us into modern day time. We don't talk about anything here on Planet Remix unless it is something that is connected to us, how we can relate to things in our life, and also how we can see ourselves as a soul group really evolving and growing in the message. This is one of the main reasons why we do this work. And I say we because I'm not alone here. We're all doing this together. We're learning together. We're growing together. We're understanding together. We're uncovering things together. And from so many different angles. So many different angles. You know, a while back we talked about blind spots. And this was a show that Brother Bilal had did about blind spots. And one of the things that's so unique about a blind spot is that it is something that is right in front of your face, but you can't see it. It's a blind spot. That's why we call it a blind spot. And see, throughout our history, our culture, and our understanding, we have so many blind spots that have yet to be discovered. It was something that Brother Reggie said a while back, and he studies, just like Siba Haru and many others, study a lot of the comedic sciences. He said it's time for us to go back and really re-examine our history. And I've heard this before, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but this is something that we do here. And we also do it in our everyday life. See, history is not something we just find in the book, in the internet, in a lecture from someone who studies history. History is something that we're living minute by minute and day by day and second by second. So in essence, all us is making, living, and evolving history. So then that would mean that we're all responsible for what? Telling history. It's not just my responsibility to tell history, and it's not just your responsibility to tell history, but all of us play a very significant role in history. Because the history that we're telling is ultimately going to be what is building our world tomorrow. And I think if we could just flirt with that thought for just a moment, we can even begin to understand about what the 10-10 march is with our brothers from the Nation of Islam and all of those who are gathering from all over the world who have made their pilgrimage, dare I say, to Washington, D.C. for justice or else. See, history allows you to see beyond the veil. But you only get to go beyond the veil when you are truly, truly understanding that history is not something you come to learn, but history is something that you make part of it. It is like peanut butter and jelly. Like, what goes together better than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? History. It's very rich, it's full, it's alive, it's healthy, it's honest, it's clear, and it's loving. But only when you dive yourself into it, standing, that you are a part of it. But if we keep looking at our history, and whether that's day to day in our relationships with our family, with people we meet, as something in the past, something we've left behind, something that we must go study, something that is separate from us, then we'll never get the message. So, one of our dearly beloved, dearly beloved badass ancestors to help us to understand this message and to help us understand the importance of learning the connection and what history is. And don't get me wrong, because we do know that there's his story and then there's her story. See, that always exists in history. That's not a new concept. We can look at the cosmology of the world and we can begin to understand that from going into the waters of noon. There was his story and there was her story. We can't be slighted by that. Because those stories coming together is what we understand history to be. So we're going to go back. We got to go way back to talk about the history for tonight. We're going to go so far back that we're actually going to do what we talked about in a show. We're going to do a whole 360. We're going to make a complete circle. Y'all remember that? We talked about that with Brother Bilal. A 360. Some of you guys who have bicycles or have young children, you ever see them do a 360? Just turn themselves around. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. So we're going to go back and we're going to get some understanding of this history. And for those of you who have this understanding, please forgive me, okay? Help us out. So now, we're going to go way back. And of course, if we're going to go way back, we're going to go back to ancient Kemet. We're not going all the way back, but we're going to go back and we're going to really step behind the veil to begin to understand this particular history. Because this history was about a brother. And it wasn't just any kind of brother. And I know my brothers can feel me out here tonight. Because you feel that energy that's inside your heart and inside your soul when you have that calling on your life, or you feel that there's some things that you want to accomplish and that you understand and that you have inside of you. And many of you are doing this work all over the world. And I am truly, truly grateful for all of you. Well, this brother felt this way as well. Very, very passionate. In fact, he used to have a lot of dreams. He had a whole lot of dreams growing up. And like many of us, brothers and sisters alike, growing up was not an easy task for him. And even though there was a lot of love and support, there was a lot of things that was happening, that was going on. He could see himself in one position, but he couldn't figure out how he was going to get there. He knew something. And that was in the power of understanding who he was. Our ancestors truly understood. And they took that task alone as serious as some of us take, I won't say that, but as serious as we take trying to obtain a certain position or trying to astral travel or attempting to create something. He took it that serious of who he was and who he understood himself to be and how significant this was going to be to himself and to history, because he understood that he was history. From the moment that he opened his mouth and the life came into his physical being, he understood that. Now that's pretty powerful. So he grows up. And as he grows up through his rites of passage, like many of you guys have gone through rites of passages, and you've gone and you've come from many different schools of thoughts and many different schools of thoughts and religions and understandings that you will go through too. And in this rites of passage, he got whispered the understanding of his name. And you know, back in those times, there were priestesses who would help share this understanding. The mothers would help share this understanding. And the family, the women, the feminine energy would share this understanding with the families and the children. So he came to understand who he was. And this was very significant for him. And interesting enough, it's not a lot of information on him. And the information, or dare I say, the history that is there, is so twisted. It's so corrupt. And it's so misleading that it's hard to get a clear picture of who this brother is. So I want to talk about him. I want to talk about him because he ruled 200 years. 200 years. Some of us have a hard time leading in our own life for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And by the time we get to 70 and 60, we have had just about enough. Can you imagine the walk that you're in your spirituality and your understanding of life and the people you meet and you come in contact with of doing it for 200 years? Talk about everything that goes makes a complete circle. Do you know how many circles came around in this brother's life? 200 years? Oh, he's seen a lot. He's seen a lot. And he understood a lot because he had the blessings. He had the blessing of the goddess. And he had the blessing of God. Because this brother himself, of his essence, truly meant the bright. Bright is the manifestation of Ra, of the god Ra himself. He was the manifestation of him. And he would do this ritual very early in the morning. And this morning, I got up to watch him. To watch him do this ritual. And before the sun would come up, in the temple of man, he would get up, bathe himself, dress himself in white linen. He would walk carrying a lantern and walk. And as he's walking, he's able to watch the sun as it appeared to be rising. And he would continue to walk. And there were others who walked behind him. Because in life, nobody truly walks alone. And when he got to the Elite, which is the opening of the temple, he was one of the only few who was blessed to be able to walk in. And so he walked in. And inside, there was a ramp. And he would go up the ramp. And there was lights inside the temple where you could see the rays of the sun coming in. Inside, a very beautiful altar standing there in all of his glory was a statue of the god Ra, of Amun-Ra. And he wasn't just standing there. See, I want to talk about this because this is a question I get asked. So you guys stay with me. This is a lot that is coming in. And I want to share it with you in the best, purest, loving, divine way that I know how. So thank you for your patience ahead of time. See, we have altars and we have statues, and many of you do, and maybe they're statues of some of Hedheru, of the god Ra, the god Amun-Ra, the goddess Sekhmet, the goddess Sekhet, angels, Sarasvati, Kali, Buddha. Our ancestors understood the power. It wasn't just considered a statue. See, that particular making allowed the spirit and the divine essence of that deity to be transformed and manifested into this realm and world. So no matter where in the universe, cosmos, whether it was history, past, present, future, if you needed to contact that deity, the spirit resided inside of that deity. And this was a way of divine communication. It wasn't just a symbol. Still is not just a symbol. And so standing there was the god Ra in his most, Amun-Ra in his most powerful position. Standing upright. And he had his hand on his phallus, which was erect. Right before the priest that stood there. But I want you to begin to understand the symbology of that. See, that spoke to what we know now as pure, untainted, masculine energy, love energy. It wasn't anything to do with anything sexual. They understood this. And he would go because he understood, this brother, that he was the manifestation, the bright manifestation of Ra. Do you know how powerful that calling was to him to understand that. He would do this every single morning before he would do anything, before he would eat, before he would go to the bathroom, before he would get on Facebook, before he would check his email, before he would get on Instagram, before he would do a Snapchat, before he would do any of these things, before he would eat, before he would greet anyone, he took care of his history. That was so profound to me, to watch him do that this morning. And then he would walk out, because he had truly, truly communicated with the powerful God, Amun-Ra. So you want to know how he was able to do this for 200 years. We can't do shit for 3 months without crying about it, without whining about it, without bitching and complaining about it. So this brother understood what he needed to do. And he had a lot of children, a bunch of sons. And he made them understand, you have a role here. You have a place here. This is not a fairy tale, people. This is not some made up hokumology. This really happened. So he began to groom his son, as most men do, and conditioned them to be ready to take their positions when needed. And they were gearing themselves up. So this brother was in charge of Kemet. He ruled for 200 years, they called him the Great Chief. The Great Chief. He was the Great Chief. Do you know what it takes to be great? Remember the cartoon or the commercial with Tony the Tiger when he says, they're great. Do you know how hard it is to be great? That's not an easy task, not even in this society. I don't think anybody's looking to be great. Everybody wants to be famous. But he was great. And great carried a lot of power. If you look at the word great, you will see that eat is in there. Brother had a lot of food for thought, because that's what it takes to be great. Food for thought, feeding the mind, feeding the spirit, and feeding your soul. He did this. He was the Great Chief. And his name, let me tell you when he ruled, because that's sort of, let me tell you where he ruled, okay? I want to tell you where he ruled. But this is my boo. Because he ruled during the Bombastic Dynasty. He was the boo. That's what they called him. That's my boo. He was the boo for 200 years. and he did the damn thing without bitching, without complaining. He did it day by day and night by night. This was the 22nd dynasty, and his name was Shishank, or Shawshank, like the Shawshank Redemption, or Shishak, like Shaquille O'Neal. And he was a tall brother, very tall, Shishank. Even when you begin to say this name, as it flows off your tongue, the vibrations that move through your body tells you that this is a brother not to be played with. Shishank. Now you understand why he was my boo and a whole lot of other people's. Shishank. He ruled for 200 years. And when you go and you begin to look at the records in Thespian, or what they call Thebes, because this is the city where the thieves raided later in history. You know how they say he will come like a thief in the middle of the night. Well, in this city of Thebes, or Thespian, as they says, or Thespian, he was the great chief. He was the one who was coming to get your ass in the middle of the night. He was Shishank. And that's why he was the boo. That was the dynasty. And that's how he reigned. So now, stay with me here as we unravel this story, because boy, it is a story. So now, history will tell you that Shishank was this badass, bad to the bone brother, and he was. Matter of fact, they say that he went, he just You know how somebody Shishank you? Can you imagine what it feels like to be Shishanked? I want you to think about that for a minute. What do you think it would feel like if somebody Shishanked you? That's an interesting thought, ain't it? Yeah, your ass is a goner. But anyway, Shishank would go and he would talk to Amun-Ra and do his rituals in the morning. As this powerful, powerful pharaoh he was. And he was a brother, no doubt. And he understood his mission. And the mission wasn't that he was coming to kill you or to get you in the middle of the night. See, history would want you to believe that this was sort of some barbaric individual. And even if we began to look towards the Bible, or we look towards the Jewish Bible, interesting enough, they mention Shishank in there. But we'll talk about that in a moment, because I want you to understand the true meaning and the true history of Shishank. So they want you to believe that Shishank went around, he was stealing gold, he was doing this with Solomon, and he was doing this with King Solomon, taking his gold, he was doing all this, he was doing this, and he stole the Ark of Covenant. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Really? Seriously? No. So what was the true history there? Remember back at this time, ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, literally meant to bring people into the light. This was their whole mission. This was Shishank's mission. Matter of fact, he was able to do something that had never been done at that time. And he was able to unite all of Kemet, right? They want you to think this was a great feat, but here's something they don't tell you. Those were his people. He didn't struggle. He didn't have to go to war with them to say, hey, listen, you in Upper Egypt, you in Lower Egypt, you over here and you over there, we need to get together, you down there, we need to come over here. He got them all together. In fact, he even had the Greeks together. But here's what I want you to understand, because they don't want to tell you this. That the Greeks at this time were black people. They weren't the Europeans that they want you to understand. They were called Racinas. They were Racinas, which literally mean the teachings of Ra. That's what they did. Isn't this crazy? Because when we start to think about Greek mythology and we think about Greek philosophy, right? We think we're looking at something that's European. Now, we got that lesson a long time ago from Brother Panic. But I want you to understand that Greek mythology and Greek philosophy was something that we named. Those were our people there. The Europeans were not there. Difference was. So understand this, okay? If we're looking at the map, right? We have Kemet over here. Guess what's right across the water from Kemet? What's right across the water from Kemet? The Mediterranean Sea, Greece. Okay? What they did was go and spread knowledge. That's what Shishank and his crew, his army, his people, his mission, that's what he was about. But they don't want to tell you that. They want you to think that there was a very different story going on. And so when you begin to look at Greek mythology, and you hear words like Isis, and you hear words like Osiris, or when you hear words like Aset, and you hear words like Asar, that somehow one is a European interpretation and one is a African interpretation, when in fact we were the ones who gave them both names. So here's what I want you to think about. We have brothers and sisters and melanin people all over the world, right? Some of you have gone to college. Some of you have gone to trade school. Some of you have learned a skill. Some of you have lived in different parts of the world, and you have taught yourself some amazing shit, hands down, right? And in this stuff, you may paint, you may draw, you may sing, you may dance, you may act a fool. You may be a poet. You may sing. You may do all of these things. What Shishank did was say, we are here as the people of Ra. They were teachers. And even those who were in Greece, when they went to Greece to talk to them, they were helping them to expand their knowledge. So this is why they had all of this understanding that was in Kemet, they also had there. But the story gets twisted. It gets very, very twisted. And they want you to begin to think what they want you to think about every single melanin brother. And this is no different from today, that they are these uncivilized killing machines that has no mercy. no conscience, no love. And that's not what it was. They throw around words, history books, and we're too afraid to recognize ourselves there. They start to talk to you about Shishak and Jerusalem. They start to talk to you about Shishak and Israel, when in fact the word Israel itself does not even show up to almost 200 years later. They start to mix certain understandings, religions, with ancient Kemet time. And you may think, so what, Ms. Blue? That's not a big deal. But it is. Because they want to eliminate the history that is so freeing to the world, not to melanin people, but to all people on the planet. But we've seen this before. The map itself flipped upside down so that Europe can be on top and Africa can be the continent on the bottom, recognizing the power. They have done tests with children and people and flipped the map the other way around. And those cultures who have a map that is positioned completely different have a very different understanding of history and people all over the world. So this was about people, melanin people from melanin people coming together. And then they want you to think, especially when it comes to this thing of slavery, especially when it comes to things like human trafficking, especially when it comes to selling our people. And this is a story for those of us who are in America. We've heard this too many times. Y'all are so upset about slavery, but you guys were selling yourselves. How many times have we heard that story? Well, this goes all the way back to Shishak. It goes all the way back to ancient Kemet, which is truly the land of light. And this is why everybody now on the planet, I don't care where you live, what corner, what cupboard, I don't care where you live, you can be a human being, you can be an animal, you can be a plant, you can be a microcosmic germ, and you are searching for light. And Kemet is land of the light, light of the world. And that's why everything that lives on this planet has to, at some point, get some light. So they want you to believe that these pyramids, so powerful, that were being built, that they were built by the Europeans and Greece. And that's not true. It was the people from ancient Kemet who took the knowledge and they freely gave it. Out of love, out of support, out of honesty, out of trust, like we do here on The Remix. And what Shishak did, he did take an army of people. But he, first of all, didn't need to steal anything from King Solomon. And one of the reasons is because King Solomon didn't exist. Shishak, you can still see his coffin. You can still see his temple. When you go to Egypt, you will see him on the wall of Karnak. And you will see all of his badges of honor. And these badges of honor were not places that he conquered, where he killed people, but it was where he carried light. And he carried light all throughout Africa, Europe, and beyond. His people. It's over 120 places that he was able to colonize. But I want to talk about this word colonize, because my island brothers and sisters and people from other places, we understand colonizing something as to being something very different. And for those of you who have had past life readings, you understand how powerful that shit is. I want you to understand what our ancestors understood colonizing to be, our history of it. So you have to put yourself into that. And what Shishank and his people did is he would take these people with him. He took artists with him. He took people who were proficient in science, those who understood the stars, numerology, and what we call astronomy today, those who knew music and understood about the harmonics of the earth and the planet, and also the sounds that came out of your mouth and your body. He took those who understood art and who could do. He took scribes with him. He took those who were proficient in mathematics and understand the codes of the universe, those who understood geometry, dance, and knew about textiles and linens and silks, those who understood about scents and fragrances, those who understood about irrigation, and those who were proficient in architecture and structure, those who understood about e-commerce and trading and our banking system, those who understood who were mint workers, he took those who were alchemists. He took those who were proficient in the language. He took those who could sew, and he said, let's go spread the light. And then he would go to these places, and he would say to his brothers and his sisters, he said, here's what we're going to do. We are here to spread light. And this is what the real colonization was about. You would work apprenticeship in one of these areas, making jewelry, making clothing, understanding about e-commerce, building buildings, understanding irrigation. They had running water. They were civilized. And you would work for them for 7 years. You got to keep your family with you, one. You would get taught a skill, two. You would keep your family's name, three. And after the 7 years, you would get your land. Do you understand how that got so twisted? It got so twisted that we are in 2015 and we are still looking for fucking 40 acres and a goddamn mule. Do you understand why you got to know that you are a part of history? Because when they twist it, when they twirl it, when they put it in the books, you won't be able to find yourself, even if it's your history. We think that this is what colonization is about, and the lies that they have passed down from generations is that we sold our own people. So I ask you, were we selling our people? Spreading light. They want you to think when you see Shishank, because nobody talks about his ass, that he went and stole copper, silver, and gold from a King Solomon that didn't exist. Because the real King Solomon was Shishank. And I want to tell you something else about Shishank. Shishank understood what it took to run a civilized world. And he has the badges on the temple wall to prove it. And some of you who will be taking trips with our brother Yasir Hotep and Ashe to his mother on her journey, who made her passing, or brother Wayne Chandler, who takes trips, I'm sure you go by, if you haven't already, and see Shishank. But those badges there are not war scars. That was him spreading light. Kemet was the richest place, and still is to this day by far, than many of the places on the planet. He didn't need to steal anything. In fact, he took his alchemists with him that understood about copper, that understood about metal, that understood about that we needed a way to trade. And he taught that. He taught that to those 100+ places that he colonized. They even paid taxes. Does that sound like slavery to you? Does that sound like slavery to you? Shishank was spreading light, as many of us. And he was doing his work in a powerful way. So, the original Greeks were black. Let's be clear. Some of this, we just got to kind of get out of some of this foolishness. That's the only way we're going to be able to understand who we are. Now, Shishank also set something else very powerful in motion, because Shishank was a Berber. Yes, one of the first, most powerful Berbers on the planet. And now today, many of the Berbers get a bad rap. But that's the story of our people, right? But this energy has come up for a lot of reasons. And you will get to see them before tonight is over, all the reasons. But I want to talk about another reason. There is, a couple of days ago, I received an email that looked like it was a little out of place. I didn't know if it was spam. I didn't know what it was. But once I clicked on it and began to communicate with Shishank and began to communicate with others, everything became so clear. Very clear. Like looking directly in the bluest clear water you could see, and you can look all the way down to the bottom. I'd had some real strange dreams this week. And as many of you know, I didn't do a show on Sunday. And for this whole time, I was kind of going through this and just putting some things together. A mermaid kept coming to me, but she wasn't saying anything. And I kept saying, why in the world would this mermaid just appear and leave? I deal in the records. So, okay, I get it. Got a little past life there. But I just could not understand it. But after some conversations I had with the priestess and others, everything became so clear to me. And the pieces of the story, as they began to unravel, started to literally have me tremble. So I go back to this email, and I begin to look at this email, and I start to read this story from this brother who's from Africa. And he begins to tell this story about how he met his wife. And they show this loving, very amazing and beautiful picture of him feeding her. And you can look at the picture, and you can literally see the love that's exuberating. You didn't have to be there. I look at the date of the picture, and the date of the picture is 2014. And I'm thinking, I want to read this story. Because I want to find out what this is all about. And this is going to take us right back to what we understand the continent of Africa to be. Now, where Kemet was. And where many of the pathways are, where Sheshank and his army, his community, people, his teachers, spread their love and light. The same pathways. And so many of the things that I just have been going over throughout the week, I'm finding myself going down these same roads, saying some of these same names. And as I read the story, it gets more chilling. So let me tell you the story, because I want to get to it, right? So he's telling the story about how much he is in love with his wife, and how they met when he was very young. They didn't think that they could be together because the country where he's from, they wasn't allowed to date like that. It's not like here in America where you walk outside and you see little elementary kids smacking the girl on their ass and gulping her and doing all kinds of disrespectful things that happen to women. It wasn't that way. Because women had a specific place, and those kind of things were not allowed if you were not getting ready to be married. So what the children would do, or the young teenagers would do, they would all gather together at this one particular place, a cafe, and they would make it seem like when they wanted two boys and girls wanted to talk, all the friends would gather around so nobody would know who was talking to who. And that's how they were able to communicate with each other. And once they did, it was love. It was love at first sight. Instant. And he knew that whatever he needed to do to make this woman his wife, he wanted to do it. And that's what he did. But there was a lot of turmoil, as with many things on the continent of Africa that is happening, that is going on, that was going on. And so he had to go into service. He didn't want to. But it was a part of what was required there. Very impoverished situation. So long story short, they finally get together. They get married. They have a beautiful daughter. And those of us who have daughters, we understand. And those of us women who were daughters, or still are daughters, I should say, we understand how precious and loving daughters are, right? But his wife is unhappy. She's unhappy where they are. She's unhappy because of the treatment of the people where they're at. There's all kinds of wars breaking out. There's all kinds of killings going on. It's all kinds of craziness that's going on. They don't have work. They don't have food. They don't have the basic necessities of life. Now, I want you to understand that approximately now, if we were to take a look at where the Berbers are in modern day time, it's approximately over 15 million of them living in a short span of space. Most of them residing in Morocco and other countries around Libya and all those other countries that exist over there. So he knew, like his great ancestor, our great ancestor, Shishank, he had to do something different for his family, and it was going to take something very desperate to make sure that they got out of the situation that they were in. And his wife had a cousin, like many of us. We have friends, we have cousins. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows something that can help you with something. We all do. And her cousin said that he could help her get to Europe. And she was excited about it because she couldn't take it anymore. And at this time, they had had their second daughter. No food, no running water. And this was not something just they were dealing with. Everyone was dealing with these type of situations. A lot of unrest going on in the country because there were so many different extreme conditions of poverty. So her cousin said, hey, check this out. And I'm going to give you guys details so you can be a part of this. So tonight we all get to be a part of this. But I'm going to give you kind of the Miss Blues version of the story. So her cousin said, hey, check this out. If you can get at least 10 other people, I'm going to help you get out the country. I'm going to help you get away from here. So she was like, really? He was like, yeah. Get 10 other people. Her husband begged her, please don't go, please don't go, please don't go. But these trips was much more easier for women than men. The men who had attempted to flee these different countries ended up murdered and killed and all kinds of things. Women, children, stood a better chance. And in fact, as we speak, this is happening right now. So his wife got herself together, got her things together, and she took their youngest daughter, left the oldest daughter with him. And she began to make this journey. This journey that went through the Sahara Desert. And it wasn't a little bit of people. It was hundreds of them. Hundreds. Women, children, young people. But one thing her cousin forgot to tell her, as most cousins do, that he was a human trafficker. And he was smuggling her out. And that these people, didn't give a damn. This was about them making money. Because you had to pay. You had to pay something like $1,000, $15,000. Once you get to the other side, you had to pay. Find a job. They would make you work for them if you made it. See, there was a big if that a lot of people understood, but they didn't know. And so she took her daughter. They got on the truck. They started going through the Sahara Desert because this is all illegal. The truck broke down. And oh, you know how I told you those hundreds of people? Well, hundreds of them died. They didn't make it because you have no food and you have no water because these are smugglers and they don't care. If they want to rape you, if they want to kill you, if they want to do anything to you, they can. You're at their mercy. Because after all, who you gonna go tell? You in the middle of the Sahara Desert. So they made it to their first destination. And her husband said, after about the third week, he started to get a little antsy because he hadn't heard from his wife. But finally, the phone rang. And she was crying, uncontrollable. And when a woman cries, uncontrollable, you know that it is something that has truly touched her soul. So, as her husband, he knew something was wrong. She tried to contain herself in her voice, but she couldn't hide that from the man she loved, and he loved her. And she told them, we made it to the first destination. And then she began to tell him, but then there was hundreds that didn't make it. Bodies just left in the desert to die, to rot. So he began to really get nervous, and he said, let me speak to my daughter, because he feared that maybe this cry, this yearning his wife was giving him, was the news that something had happened to his precious daughter. But it wasn't. She said, she's fine, she's just too weak, we haven't had any food, and very little water in about 3 weeks. But he began to get angry and upset and nervous and said, demanded to speak to his daughter. So she put him on the phone and he spoke to her. She told her husband, we will leave in the morning. And that was the last he heard of his wife and his daughter. His wife did tell him approximately 240-something people left and that they were about to get themselves on a boat. And that boat was going to take them to their next destination before they would arrive at the final destination. But something very interesting happened with this particular sister and this particular brother, because they were in Libya and they were going to take them to Italy. But instead of making its journey, a boat with 243 refugees vanished without a trace. And this was in July of 2014. But here's the crazy part. Nobody's looking for them. There's no search team, like when the helicopter went down, or just recently when the boat in South Carolina, because of the flooding, went missing. There's nobody looking for them. Nobody is saying anything. But here's the part of the history that I found out because I had the pleasure of speaking with the priestess, who actually is from Morocco, and witnessed these things happening. And she told me this happens every day. And people would come, and one of the stops is in Morocco. They would barely make it and leave from Morocco to get on the boat to die. And literally, there would be people taking hundreds of bodies out of the water because they would just throw them overboard. So there's hundreds and thousands of people as we speak. Women, children, and young people. These are melanin people that are getting on this ghost boat and disappearing. So this sister and her daughter, husband, began to tell his story, and nobody cared. Nobody wanted to listen. Nobody wanted to do anything, but he finally found somebody who would tell his story that would help search, that could help to bring some light, because after all, these are the original Berbers that came from ancient Kemet, Egypt, from Shishank Dynasty, the land of light, Egypt. And the call is to spread the light, what he's asking. That's what these spirits, these souls, are asking. To spread light, to understand the real history of Shishank. I'm going to give you a link, and we will post the link on Facebook, because I want everyone to help. You will be blessed by the ancestors in a way that you couldn't even imagine. When I began to just connect with this energy, it was such a divine blessing, and so many things became so instantly clear to me. Puzzles and mysteries I couldn't figure out for years. Understanding, knowledge, healing, light, just like that. And it'll happen for you as well, too. So, what they're asking, and I love this, because we have so many creative people on the planet right now with such a beautiful heart, and that is truly pure and loving. You know, tonight, someone else stepped into my space with me. I wasn't expecting, and that was Hypatia. And also Dahlia, because she was the queen of the Berbers. Remember when I told the story about Hannibal and how she set herself on fire? Those two. Helping me, guiding me, giving me strength and understanding and love, and to get this message out. So I'm going to have to give you, hold on 1 second, because we're going to post this, and it's going to get posted over on Facebook, and I'm going to give you the information here. So if you're listening to the archives, you'll be able to do this as well. But this is the call for the powerful Berber people, which many and all of us have that DNA inside of us of Shishank, is that they're asking people to not only spread the message about the ghost boat, but they're asking you to do your own history. The ghost boat, and this is what it says. We want to solve mystery, and here's how you can join in. It's a brother named Bobby Johnson, I think. I could be wrong. Let me get the correct name. But they're giving you clues. And they're telling you, whatever you pick up, anything that you can come with, to write this story, tell this story. And yes, it's Bobby Johnson. And it's on a site that is so divine for me called Medium. And when Medium first came out, before they opened to the public, they offered me an opportunity to write on this platform. So, they're showing you items. They give you clues. They tell you things about the story. So not only can you pass on this message, but you can be a part, which we know we do our spiritual work here and we put things out. So I want us all to know that this energy, our history, a part of us, Shishank, the Berbers, is here. And this is the way to rise it up so that we can help our people not only solve this mystery, but lift this veil so this does not continue, that bodies and hundreds of women and children and young people are not dying so that they can get food, so that they can eat. And they're not falling into what many of us sometimes fall into. Corrupt hands, tainted hands, or twisted minds. This has been going on since the beginning of time. We think about the story of Black Venus and how she was searching for a better life. And they took her to Europe. Many of these are put into prostitutions, or they're made slaves, or they're killed. And when they were done with the Black Venus, they cut her uterus out. They cut her womb out. They cut her yoni out. And they sent it back to Africa. And that's happening to many of us sisters right now. And we didn't even go nowhere. The ghost boat. So they're going to be doing this over the next 2 years. And they know that many of us who have this understanding, the collective consciousness, that we can play a significant role in this. For ourselves, for our history, and for all of the people. I want you to trust this site because it is a lot of incorrect information that's out there. So on the site Medium and the link that we'll provide you, it is going to give you correct information. and we're going to post it in the chat room, and it will be on the Remix Radio page. Yeah. The Dawn of the Infinite Barbaras, 22, and the Ghost Boat. So this is a way that we're all connected. And this energy is here. Shishank, rising up again for us to understand our history, how we've come together. We're all connected. And to be able to understand the significant role that we're playing in our history and each other's history. So, www.medium.com/ghostboat/ghost-boat-a-premier. And that should take you there. Feel free to mention that you heard about it with your soul group here on Planet Remix. So, wanted to share that with everybody. And tonight, we're going to close out a little early. And I will be back on Sunday night. And Brother Bilal from Bilal the Experience and, of course, Planet Remix will be here to share more about what's going on at this time and to bring about understanding. So, peace and love to all of you. I want to give shouts out to everyone, especially our brothers and sisters out there doing the work and those who definitely bring this energy online, you know, because there's so many. To all of you, Brother Bilal, big thanks. And to all of Planet Remix out there listening, Siba Haru, who has been very dedicated to the comedic science, Brother Ogun, who also studies the science, and so many I have learned from that have shared their stories, their walks, and they've come here on Planet Remix. Brother Wayne Chandler, who has given this knowledge. Brother Yasir Hotep, who studied this from many different angles. The Quasis, who study this. Brother Bobby Hemet and Queen Linda, who's been so powerful in helping us uncover this thing called history. And all of them who's been here, Brother Panic, all of them, every single one of them who shared this knowledge here. Dr. Phil Valentine, who does a lot of work in this area too. And all of you, every single one of you who do as well. So, peace and love to you guys. I really hope that you guys enjoyed hearing about my boo. Shishank, and just know that love is the only thing that's real here. So peace and love to you guys, and much love, warm spirit. I will see you guys back here live in the Remix on Sunday night. But we got to do something before we get out. We're going to hear some Baby Blue, because we didn't do that tonight. And we definitely got to do that.
La 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 la, the Remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
Yep. Yep.
I'm going to play something.
I really am, you guys, if I can find it. Yes, I'm going to play something here. Give me 1 second. Ooh, beautiful night, beautiful night, beautiful energy. Yeah.
If it will play, you guys, we're going to do this. We're going to get out of here, too. We're going to play this, and yeah, let me see. Here we go.